with much more confidence, but also with much more complexity as we push the envelope.
We've been speaking with Kevin Kumashiro. His most recent book is Bad Teacher, How Blaming Teachers Distorts the Bigger Picture. You can follow his work at kevinkumashiro.com. Kevin Kumashiro, thank you so much for joining us this week on Counterspin.
Thanks again for having me.
And that's it for Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. If you missed part of today's show or you'd like to hear previous shows, you can find shows and transcripts on our website, FAIR.org. That's also the place to sign up for subscriptions to FAIR's newsletter Extra or to sign on to our Action Alert Network. You can also find out information about Counterspin's podcast. The show is engineered by Erica Rosato. I'm Janine Jackson. Thank you for listening to Counterspin.
Yes, indeed. It is that time, people. It is Monday, July 1st, 5:30 p.m. If it's a Monday, it's 5:30. You know what time it is. Talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Coming up next, the world's greatest sports talk radio show, according to my grandmother. Shout out to you, the listener, for lending us your ears for an hour while you listen to the nonsense it is we do around here. I got my team in the building. We're down Statman Brad. He's out in Montana with this girl. What up, Jen? What up, Statman Brad?
They're in Wyoming.
Wyoming, Montana. They're neighboring. Whatever. But I appreciate good correction. Necessary correction. Before we get into the show, to the proceedings around here, we want to thank the people who keep the lights on around here. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters just like yourself, and by the Chico News and Review, providing Northern California with news, commentary, and entertainment. The Chico News and Review is available for free every Thursday at over 600 locations throughout Butte, Glen, and Tehama counties. And you can always check them out at newsreview.com. But with no further ado, let's get into it. Talking About Practice starts right now.
We're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed, we are talking about practice. The world's greatest sports talk radio show, if I do say so myself. I'm your host, Jarrell Gelbert. Alongside me, as always, my partner in crime, Derek Izumaki.
What's good, party people?
We got our man, Jordan Booth, in the building today. Jordan, what is happening?
Hi.
And we got our man, Sonny Slim, a.k.a. John Lucan.
What it do?
Like I said, Statman Brad is out of the state. He's not in Montana, however. He is in Wyoming with his girl Jen. Shouts to them. We hope to have them back, or at least Statman Brad back, next Monday. But in the meantime, I will be playing both roles, producer extraordinaire and host, so that'll be fun. We have all sorts of stuff going on, man. What a crazy night in free agency. They moved free agency up 6 hours from last year to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and all sorts of stuff went down. So we'll get into that. But Derek, can you give the people a taste of what they can expect on today's show?
You already touched on it with a little free agency, but it was the Oprah Winfrey of free agency with, you get a free agent, you get a free agent, you get a free agent. Brooklyn, we go hard. The Dubs go through a tough breakup, but rebound real quick.
Yeah.
The Knicks.
The Knicks.
Pathetic.
Oh, boy.
Michael Jordan, class on the court, ass in the front office. Jimmy wants in on those fire unis in Miami. In the Lakers, the thirsty get thirstier as they ponder Kawhi. Outside the soap opera, we got the World Cup is a wrap. We've got the hate, and of course, the LA correspondent coming in with that fire as well.
That's yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it. So let's just dive into this. This is probably going to take up a lot of the show. So if you hate the NBA, might as well listen to something else because we're going to talk a lot of hoops. Around here, the entire landscape of the National Basketball Association changed yesterday. And I would even be willing to say it changed the moment Kevin Durant strained his calf originally. So let's just dive into that, right? Obviously, the big moves yesterday, Kyrie going to the Nets. I think a lot of us saw that. That was being reported on weeks prior. KD joins the Nets, and the Warriors get D'Angelo Russell. So, let's start
even
with...
Even switch right there, even.
Is it?
Yeah, straight up, man. D'Angelo Russell, great pickup.
Well, we'll get into that in a second. I want to talk about this from a New York perspective, and on two fronts. One, the Knicks, man. Boy... Oh.
Tough not to laugh.
Julius Randle.
I'm sorry.
Bobby Portis.
I like that. That's a, Julius Randle's a good pickup.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, okay, so
it's not what we're looking for.
No, of course not.
Well, let's just rewind back. If you're a Knicks fan, a month ago, you were riding the hope high, right? You were smoking on that good hope. You were deep on that loud hope, right?
You were about to go home with 2 tens. They were about to go home with 2 tens.
They almost went home with 3 because they thought they had the chance of getting that number one pick.
They almost had with 3 tens right there.
So they thought they were getting potentially Zion Williamson or, worst case, Ja Morant. They settled for R.J. Barrett, which, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows, right? But it definitely is not going to move the needle as far as interest in your team. The way a Zion or a Ja would have done for you. You also cleared up $70 million in cap space. You traded away Porzingis, who was the only thing that the Knicks could really say they were proud of besides Carmelo Anthony in the last decade. And even the Melo thing went off the rails. So you think you're going to have the number one pick and you have two max slots on your team. And by all accounts, it looked like it was a done deal. Kyrie and KD going to the Knicks, which obviously for Knicks fans would have been an absolute godsend. And we could get into the actual particulars of them going to the Nets in a minute. But again, Derek, can you help me out here? And can we just laugh? At the Knicks. This pathetic. One was a riff. The Knicks get nobody. I mean, they did get somebody.
Bobby Portis, dog.
Julius Randle.
Big Bobby Gibson. Portis.
Bobby Portis, who, what, didn't he knock out his teammate?
Yeah, he knocked out Nikola Mirotic. Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, so wait, say that name one more time. I don't think you got that off.
Nikola Mirotic. Yeah.
There we go. There we go. Much better. Yeah.
That's... Sorry, Knicks, man. I mean, there's no Knicks fans in this area that are listening to this right now, most likely, I'm guessing, but at the same time...
Well, you got to think that
all the hype that they were going to bring back, you know, this New York. Now they have to look at their neighbor that was irrelevant 3 years ago.
Was it relevant 2 years
ago? They're still irrelevant. They still are irrelevant.
Well, they made the playoffs last year. They made the playoffs last year.
They had an all-star in D'Angelo. Okay,
but still, they are, in terms of all, that's like the, might as well be the
LeVert's all right, too.
They might as well be the Orlando Magic, okay?
Spencer Dinwiddie, solid. Yeah.
And then they got the pack artist. What was the?
Jared Allen.
Yeah. They got some pieces there.
Jared Allen,
So they do add Kyrie, who will have an impact this year. Obviously, KD ain't going to play next year. I don't see any way he's going to play. He just suffered the most devastating injury, for the most part, that an NBA player can suffer. And if you look at the numbers, man, for someone who comes off an Achilles tear, the average, I believe the average amount of time that that NBA player ends up spending in the league after such injury is 3 years. Now, KD, obviously a special player, top 20 all-time player, I think, by all accounts. We've never had a seven-foot scorer who plays the perimeter the way KD does. And I mean, hopefully he comes back to full form. I don't know.
I mean, the Nets are sort of banking on it. They gave him a max contract.
They gave him a max deal.
Well, they didn't give him a max deal. He actually took a little pay cut so they get their boy DeAndre Jordan in there, you know. that guy's important to the piece. He's a big piece of the puzzle. So
is he?
Of course, yeah.
DeAndre.
Because he's going to be the only thing that Kyrie can pass it to.
DeAndre ain't done anything in the NBA in 2 years.
I didn't even know he was still in the NBA.
I mean, he was a beneficiary of Chris Paul's greatness as a point guard. I mean, he's not a throw it down on the block, get your money type of center. He's an athletic guy who's going to run the floor, catch lobs. That's his job.
And
you definitely need that in the NBA. You definitely need a skilled rim protector and somebody who can dunk anything they get a chance to dunk, which he will do.
Yeah, but he's not as explosive as he was a few years ago, obviously. I mean, Father Time is undefeated, except when in the case of Tom Brady. But I don't know. I mean, obviously, everyone's hyped about the Nets making these moves, and I don't know. I've always been a Kyrie seller. Obviously, that three he hit against the Warriors was huge. I just would never want that guy in my locker room. He's a weirdo, man. Dude's a weirdo.
Bears flat, right? Yeah.
I mean, I think we'll see a little bit more about his personality in this year, especially since there's not really another star to kind of take away from or to, like, another side. The Celtics situation was kind of a weird situation.
Sure.
He didn't have as much going on when he was with LeBron, so I'm interested to see how everything kind of flows in Brooklyn with all that media attention.
I mean, I feel like the last two teams he's been on, it's kind of been the same script of, you know, wanting his way, and then if not, then hitting the road. You know, I mean, demanding a trade from the Cavs, and wanting to go to the Celtics and all that, and then obviously the injury, you know, and the Celtics went on their run, so it kind of created a weird dynamic for him when he came back. But
and that wasn't his fault,
right?
That wasn't his fault. That was a lot of young dudes playing really exceptionally well without Kyrie and getting, you know, hyping themselves up, getting gassed up by their own success, which I will remind Celtics fans, they did not make the finals that year, but that's okay. They did take the Cavs to a seventh game, which no one decided to show up for. Yet you have players like Scary Terry coming out, Terry Rozier, and saying he made the most sacrifices on that team, which I just thought was hilarious. Like, come on, you're a Scary Terry. No one even knew who you were a year ago.
He's only lucky because he has that nickname and that one, that like visual came out of him in his cartoon.
I mean, he did hit Eric Bledsoe, though. If you're a true hoop fan, you remember that, that dagger when he hit Eric Bledsoe with some craziness and then stepped away from him and knocked down that tray to close it out.
After they were talking a bunch of junk back and forth. So, I don't know. I feel like Brooklyn Nets fans are incredibly happy today, which they should be.
I mean, wait. There are no Brooklyn Nets fans.
There's a few out there.
Yeah,
there are a bunch of white boy hipsters that just moved to Brooklyn from, you know.
I mean, we can say that about the Warriors.
No, you can't. Here's what you could say. A lot of the new Warriors fans are a bunch of techie nerds, But I've been a Warriors fan for a long time.
I'm not talking about you exclusively, sir.
I'm talking about the Warriors fan base at its heart is a bunch of dudes out of Oakland and Northern California that were some real down-to-earth fans. Once the Warriors got good, though, they pushed all them people out, jacked up ticket prices. Parking, just to go to a game, is a joke, and that's why I have no plans of seeing the Warriors at Chase Stadium, Arena, whatever the hell they're calling it. I don't care. Anyway, that's my point.
All right.
Moving on. Actually, I want to stay with the Nets for a minute. Do you think that this is a championship contender 2 years from now?
Yes.
No.
No.
No, I agree.
I think they need another piece. I mean, history shows that you need that kind of trifecta in a team. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You have to have that kind of cohesiveness. But I don't see Kyrie, because both of them are kind of give me the ball and get out the way.
Yep. I don't think their games complement each other whatsoever.
I mean, not to mention, we have Kevin Durant, who's coming off an Achilles tear. And, like, he's not going to be the same player.
No,
he's
going to
be a much lesser version of himself, which is unfortunate for all of us basketball fans out there who won't be able to see his greatness for as long as we should have. Because this is a huge injury that he's going through. And I think it was reported the Knicks weren't even willing to offer him the max because of that injury,
which
I don't know why you're doing that, Knicks. You just keep shooting yourself in the foot when you talk.
You know what? I disagree with you. I actually thought it was a savvy move by the Knicks, and that is...
It was more like I rejected you first before you could reject me. That's essentially what they're trying to do, I feel.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe, but I thought that...
I mean, I feel like they could have done something, instead of saying, we weren't going to offer him the max anyway. I feel like they should have done, his injury definitely made it difficult for us.
Agreed.
To, that, I think
agreed.
The way through
the road agreed.
Is better.
Yes.
Okay. Instead of like, we're not going to offer him the max because, injury.
But isn't that said without being said, the fact that they didn't offer him the max? I mean, we don't have to...
I think a lot of teams, the fact that...
Get a statement from James.
If anyone was going to offer him the max, though, with it being who he is, the Knicks should have been that team. I feel like the Knicks were in a situation where they were so desperate for it.
See, I disagree there. I mean, the Knicks are terrible. They have been terrible.
Yeah, so what's this going to do? So if they don't get him, let's say they do spend all that money on him, they still get him. They're still in the same position they are right now. Terrible.
I know, but I'm saying, wouldn't you want to, we were talking about the three things that they missed out on, the fact that they thought they were going to get KD, they thought they were going to get Zion Williamson. Zion Williamson, they really only had, they had less than a 20% shot at getting that pick.
Well, it's Knicks fans.
But the Lakers were in the same position 2 years ago before
Lakers
they got
fans
wrong.
The same exact thing as Knicks fans. They're all irrationally stupid.
Yeah, in a sense. Okay.
Well, at least the arrogance on the Lakers fan base is somewhat deserved.
That's
the Knicks
true,
have been relevant for 2 years out of the 34 years I've been on this planet. So I don't...
I'm pretty sure they've only been relevant 3 years in their entire existence. So,
Yeah, so I don't know, man. I feel bad for Knicks fans. But at the same time, I thought it was somewhat savvy to not offer KD that max deal just to pay him.
I will say probably in 2 years they're going to look at like, all right, that was a smart move. We shouldn't have done that. He's not going to be
potentially.
So
you guys don't think KD's coming back strong at all?
I mean, he's going to come back, I feel. But he's not going to be that KD.
But what I mean, okay, obviously KD is a top 10 player in the NBA. So what is...
He's always top 5. He's a number 2 player in the NBA, man.
Top 10 player all time.
Okay, all right, all time. All
top right. 10 player all time in the NBA. So him coming back, what is him coming back at not being KD? What does that mean? You know what I mean? Because this is a career 26, 27 points, point game scorer. If him coming back averaging 22 at 34, 35, I'm fine with that. I think we all should be fine with that. Even if it's his Achilles that's not allowing him to get those extra points, I mean, he's old. He's getting older. He's going to be older. He's 34 years old. Melo's out the league at this point. A lot of players were out of the league at this point. So if he's still able to drop 20-plus, I mean, that's pretty good. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, but is that good enough to get you a championship or to spend a max contract on?
With the right players around him, yeah. I think Kevin Durant has always proven to be a solid championship piece. He just has to have the right pieces around him.
So just to clarify, he is a 27 points per game career average. So that is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
If he does come back at a 20 points per game, that's still really good. It's just not the guy that we've seen, right? So I think that's Derek's greater point, is regardless, you're getting a lesser version of the greatness we saw, most likely, unless he defies all odds and comes back better than anyone we've ever seen.
I mean, I hope he does. I hope he does. I want to see that KD out there. He's great
for the game. Yeah, he's fun to watch. Yeah. I mean, he's amazing, but yeah, most likely he will be somewhat of a lesser version of himself. Let's go to the other side of that deal, right? So the Warriors, obviously, lose KD. That's huge for them. And a little bit of, I don't know if serendipity is the right word here for us, but this kind of brings the show full circle. I believe the first show we ever did under the name Talking About Practice was KD to the Warriors. So 3 years later, now we're talking about KD leaving the Warriors. KD leaves the Warriors.
It's a circle of life.
This is the last show ever, guys, apparently. Yes.
They get D'Angelo Russell back in the trade.
Full of fame and fortune.
For what it's worth, reports are that the Warriors are looking to deal D'Angelo Russell, which makes all the sense in the world to me. But I wanted to know what you guys thought about the move to begin with and about the news that the Warriors are potentially trading him.
Well, they did it for luxury tax purposes as well, to get down on...
Under the hard cap, they had to get rid of Andre Iguodala, who's now in Memphis, which I'm sure he's super excited about.
Yeah, but it's looking like he's going to get bought out of Memphis.
Yeah.
So that is a lot better
spot. Yeah, I don't see D'Angelo Russell. I mean, I guess because Clay is out for an entire season, I can see them
being able to... He's not out for the entire season. They're looking to get him back in March or April.
Really?
That's like the entire season. At least regular season.
Okay, fair enough.
Right, he would come back towards playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you need someone to carry, obviously an all-star to carry. I don't think, just Curry and Draymond can get it done for you. So you're going to have to go out and get a couple other key pieces. Now, D'Angelo, if you trade him, what team without a point guard is not going to want to, pick that guy up? He's not the, max, super max contract that you need to, go out and get like a Kyrie, so.
Oh, but he'll be looking for that super max, let me tell you.
There's always a team out there willing to do it for him.
Someone is going to be willing to pay him, and the Warriors will not be. They got enough dudes that they got to pay right now, and I just don't think long-term paying D'Angelo Russell makes much sense for this team. So, by all accounts, from what I've been reading, Shams reported that the Warriors will be looking to move Russell's contract sometime either this offseason or during the season before the trade deadline, which makes sense. If I'm the Warriors, I'm hoping to showcase D'Angelo Russell a little bit. Don't know what that noise is. That's kind of sketch. Hoping to showcase his talents a little bit during the season and make a major move halfway through the season before the trade deadline. That would make the most sense to me.
I mean, the guys stay relevant, and this is a way for them to keep staying relevant right now. It's still in the picture because a lot of stuff is happening. They lost their best player, and now they had to do something this offseason, which they actually, I commend them on the move. They got to do something. You've seen some teams in particular the Lakers, not doing a damn thing. And I think the Lakers are like royally screwed right now.
Really?
I'm telling John, I feel it in my bones. I don't think Kawhi's coming there.
I mean, I feel like even with three players, the Lakers are probably the strongest team in the West.
But they don't have a roster at this point in time. They have four guys under the contract at this point, majority of the top free agents are gone.
Oh, I agree.
And they haven't done anything to get them right now. So I really feel what they really need to do, if they do get Kawhi somehow, some way, they need to trade LeBron James. Kawhi, AD, that's your two guys. Get whatever you can for LeBron James.
All right, he's cloud chasing, guys.
Coming, I'm just saying, man.
He's been on this trade LeBron hype for about 7 months now.
Yes, yeah, I have. Since the trade deadline has been around, I've been saying get rid of him for AD. If you get Kawhi and AD, I'm fine with that. That's a great duo right there. You get whatever you can for LeBron James. You can get quite a lot. There's enough teams out there that would take LeBron James, and they'll give you good stuff.
All right.
And bam, roster filled out, boom. Championship Lakers.
I think roster's still going to get filled out, and let's get to that a little bit later. Let's stay on D'Angelo Russell, like we were talking about. Do I like the trade? Ultimately, I think it's a good trade for the Warriors. Mm-hmm. D'Angelo Russell is going to be able to prove that he can handle the ball as well as score in a situation in a winning situation.
Yeah,
a high potent winning situation. It's going to be good for Steph Curry. It's going to be good for Klay Thompson if everything is to remain the same. He's going to actually be on the team. The one thing that I think is the biggest issue that everybody's overlooking is that the Warriors, in their years of being dominant, were one of the best defensive teams in the NBA, mainly because of the versatility of Kevin Durant, the greatness and lockdown ability of Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They do not have those type of players anymore, so their offense, though, might still remain potent. They still might be as nice as they are from the three-point line, fast break, transition, all that. I do not see them being able to stop and lock down teams in a way that they did during their dynasty.
That's a great point. Yeah, I agree with you. They're going to have to get some defensive stoppers in there. Trading Iggy, though he is obviously a veteran's veteran, been in the league for years and years and years, was still a really solid defender on the perimeter. And losing him, I think, is definitely going to hurt their defense. Losing KD hurts their
defense.
Whispers
of him going to the Lakers.
God.
Like that.
It's a great move for the Lakers if they could get him, so we'll see. I wanted to ask you guys, we'll get back into free agency and some of the nitty-gritty here a little later in the show, but I wanted to get your guys' opinions just overall. All this madness that happened yesterday, is this good for the league as far as the fan base? I don't want to talk about just the league. For the fan bases, is this a good thing with players? And maybe I'm oversimplifying it with, is it good or bad? But do you like this? Let's put it that way. Do you like this, as we all love the NBA, we're all fans of the NBA, do you guys personally like this as fans of the NBA? Derek, I'll start with you.
I'm fine with it. It's something that's been happening in a lot of, and football does it really well in their offseason in terms of all the rumors that happen. And I think that keeps the game interesting. It keeps us year-round engaged in this topic, in this sport. And at any point in time, I mean, the biggest thing to sell anyone on is hope. And just the potential of hope. You don't even have hope. You have potential of hope.
Yep.
All these teams do at the start of free agency. Like, maybe we could get this one dude. Maybe we can assemble a team that's going to make us a run. Maybe. There's so many maybes, ifs, ands, or buts for them that that hope is I'm not one that buys into it as much. I can see more of the full picture, I feel. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of fans, we just love to hop on our team as much as possible. And when you give us that potential of hope with the free agent market, fans are going to love it. So I'm fine with it.
I love it, too. I mean, 40% of the NBA was free agents this year.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's amazing. In the NBA, I feel like you see teams, you know, go for it. You know, in some sports, like, you know, teams like, hey, this is what we got.
Yeah.
We're not making any moves. If they play well, they play well. But even if we get into a situation where we could potentially make a splash, we're probably not going to make, you know, we try.
Sure.
So I love the fact that in the NBA, there's always a dark horse team that adds a player or two and is always an interesting. Like Jimmy Butler going to the Heat. Like, I mean, obviously, I don't think the Heat are going to be a super contending semifinals Eastern Conference team, but that puts them in the thick of the Eastern Conference. That puts them top five, top six.
Yeah.
So stuff like that, I think, like you said, Derek says, keeps your eye, keeps you interested in the NBA during the summer and points like that. One thing I do have a complaint about is that when you're going to allow players to sign, I would like it to be like official, you know, like how all these KD being signed and Kyrie being signed and all these people being signed isn't official until July 6th or stuff, like that. I would like it to be less convoluted to where, like, if the shit's going to come out or the information's going to come out, like, let it be real. Let's be real information that can't change.
That's fair.
That's hard. So that's hard to keep up with as a fan.
Yeah, because what was it? D'Angelo Russell's deal or Jimmy Butler's deal was done and then it wasn't done and then it was done and then it wasn't done. Mm-hmm. And now we think he's a Heat. Member of the Heat, but
he still got to July 6th.
Yeah.
That'd be funny if it all just breaks down and the Knicks come back out on top somehow.
Yeah, like, through a four-team trade as well. So
moving
I actually like Hassan Whiteside going to Portland.
Blazers.
Yeah.
The Blazers are looking ready.
Yeah, I think that's really, really good for
backcourt.
Yeah, Hassan Whiteside went to Portland Trail Blazers in a
The Heat moved that contract.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Good for the Heat.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Pat Riley, good for you, brother.
But that was the one thing that the Blazers were missing.
Right.
So they were definitely happy to pay for a rebounding finishing center.
Yeah, I'm honestly conflicted about it myself. I've been a hoop head for as long as I can remember, so I don't ever remember a time like this where when was the last time we saw the NBA? Who is even the favorite right now? I mean, when was the last time that you can honestly remember that the two favorites were so, I mean, it wasn't a clear-cut thing. It's been a long time, man. I'm going back to when it was the Pistons and Spurs final. That year, I remember there was like five or six teams that you thought honestly had a chance to win it.
I feel whenever the Spurs win the title, anyone could have won the title that year. Or a number of teams could have. The Spurs are always like that team that kind of fills that void when there's no one there to really actually take the title, you know? I just think that, forgive all the years they've won. There wasn't a dynasty. There wasn't a super team there. It was just like, all right, we're the team that actually take it this year. So good on you, Spurs, taking advantage of the low-hanging fruit.
All right, fair enough. Let's move on. This is FM 90.1 KZFR. Listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the Foothills, and beyond. You're listening to Talking About Practice. Drill Gilbert alongside me, Derek Kisumaki, Jordan Booth, and John Lucan. We appreciate you all rocking with us. We want to get into one more read before we get into the news. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Trace Ombres. Celebrating over 30 years in beautiful downtown Chico, making Latin dishes fresh from scratch daily, Trace Ombres invites you to stop in, say hi, grab a Best in Chico margarita, and check out their new private banquet facility in the Blue Agave Room, which can hold up to 70 of your best friends. If you got 70 best friends, man, you're doing something right. I don't know if I have 70 contacts that I would call that would know who I was. So shouts to you if you got 70 best friends. Open 7 days a week. Trace Ombres, First and Broadway, downtown Chico, California. So shouts to Trace. We appreciate it. Shouts to Chico News and Review. And most importantly, shouts to you for rocking with us and listening to this nonsense. Thank you. Let's move forward. You got some news for the people?
I do.
All right, let's get into the news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That's right, y'all. Time for the news. I've got a few for you that always spark my interest. Now, this one, I'm starting off strong right now, guys. Real strong. Let's just say there's a disembowelment happened in this story, okay?
Oh, no.
So, Tinder. We've all been there probably one point in time or another. Some of us are still there. It can be a dangerous place. And unfortunately for Sydney Loof, she found out the hard way. A man by the name of Audrey Trail was on trial for murder after he took out on Tinder. Shortly after that date, Sydney went up missing. Later, her body was found disemboweled. As Audrey, Mr. Trail, was on trial in the courtroom and with guilt. Stood up in the courtroom. And then slit his own throat. Oh. And died in the courtroom. In the murder trial, or at least suspected to be. So luckily, Audrey. And then killed himself, so you know. I will say, every once in a while, you can. So you don't have to see people. All right, now we go. We got the good ones right now. A Florida man. Here we go.
Ooh,
we're talking now.
Florida man.
Burglarized. Was in Martin County, good old Florida. When he, late night, was having a little fixing for some food and some money. So what he decided to do? Break into a Wendy's, grill up a burger, and steal the safe. That's right. Mr. Benson casually strolled in. I guess he meant strolled in. Threw a rock through a window at the Wendy's that was closed. And decided to start stealing some things. And he actually turned on a grill, cooked a burger, ate himself one, and then walked out with the safe in hand.
Legend.
I mean, if that's not, you know.
Pull up to the Wendy's, dude.
That guy was definitely had some munchies going on. And he wanted some money to continue that said munchie train. So,
good on you, Patrick Benjamin. He was later caught.
Okay, but so did he get caught?
He did get caught, yes. Okay. Yeah, they had plenty of footage of him just strolling through the Wendy's kitchen, gathering what he needed to make himself. I don't know what he made. I wonder what he made, you know? A Baconator?
Baconator.
It's got to be, right?
Son of Baconator,
I mean, you got to have at least bacon in there, right?
Yeah, yeah 100%. Yeah.
If you're going in there, I'm going for a ranch Osceola Chicken Club. Okay. I might go for that, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, more of a chicken guy at Wendy's.
Yeah, their spicy chickens are fire.
Spicy chicken sandwich goes hard. Number seven,
yeah. We're talking.
Get those fries extra crispy, though, folks.
Good advice.
Maybe a little frosty to dip them in.
Please. Thank you.
If you want to get crazy, I feel it.
Now, not quite Florida. But there's good stuff in the state, too. Mm. Texas.
Okay. All right. Good run around.
Yeah. Good in Wichita Falls. A Walmart there experienced a situation where a customer stupidity knows no bounds. So this lady walks into a Walmart, and she goes straightly to the bakery, where she picks out a cake. Now, during her time walking around, she starts eating said cake. Which is weird. I don't know, like, how are you eating the cake? Are you, like, grabbing hands, like, handfuls of it? Do you have a knife and fork with you? She's literally walking up and down the aisles eating her cake.
I mean, it's her cake.
Yeah, that's true. She has not yet paid for said cake, though, but she's planning to, right?
Yeah,
obviously. So she's about half the cake. Good on you, girl. Working off them calories quickly because you're shopping. But as she gets to the counter with said half a cake, decides that because there's no full cake there, I'm not paying full price.
Oh.
She said, I will pay half price for half a cake.
That's funny.
That's a boss move right there. However, with plenty of video evidence suggesting that she actually did eat the other half, and the cops having to be called, she did end up paying full price for said cake. And now is banned from Walmart.
She's so hilarious.
That's the moves right there. I like the play, though. I do. That's, you know.
It's a heady play. It's a heady play.
People do that more than you think.
I mean, I've always wondered, like, what's stopping me from, like, grabbing this bag of chips, eating them all, and throwing it away, and you never even know?
Oh, people do that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to drink a soda
right now.
It's
called morals. That's what stops
me. That's all that. I agree.
Which clearly none of us have here. So.
Correct.
That's the news, guys.
Let's bring in our L.A. correspondent right now, Aaron Isumaki. Aaron, are you with us?
Hey there, I'm here. How's it going?
Hey, hello.
You actually did it without Brad.
That's impressive.
Yeah, thank you. Wow. Thank you. All right.
I didn't think you were going to be able to do
that. Hats off to me. Let me pat my own back. Aaron, so we are in the first round of Wimbledon. Venus loses today. Update us on what is happening in Wimbledon.
So the Venus losing is a pretty... I mean, Venus is still a heavy hitter, but today she lost to 15-year-old Coco Gauff.
Whoa.
She was 15?
15 years old, one of the youngest players to ever ever play at Wimbledon.
What a moment for her.
And she was so gracious in her loss because they shook hands afterwards. Venus said congratulations, and Coco told her, you know, thank you for paving the way. You're a pioneer. You're the reason I'm here. And so it was really cool. It's hard to see Venus fall in the first round.
Yeah.
But to see her lose to this 15-year-old Coco, who idolized Venus her whole life, is one of the cooler things you're going to see in sports today.
What nationality is Coco?
She's American.
She's American. Okay. All right. Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah. American on American violence.
Well, you know, I'll
that
take
never
it.
Happens.
What else is going on in Wimbledon in the first round today?
More big news is that Naomi Osaka, you might remember her as the one who beat Serena Williams in the U.S. Open last year.
Mm-hmm.
She fell in her first round to Yulia Kutsuzeva.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Nobody knows, so just go with it, yeah.
Yeah, so she lost today, and that was actually quite the upset. When she won last year, when she beat Serena last year at the U.S. Open, she continued. She actually came into Wimbledon ranked number two. So falling in round one is pretty devastating to her. Serena is still one of the favorites to win. Last year when she came into Wimbledon, it was still unclear if she was healthy or not. She made it to the finals and she fell to Angelique Kerber. and everyone said Serena's back. She was trying to win last year to get her 24th Grand Slam. Unfortunately, a whole year later, and she still hasn't won that 24th Grand Slam. But it's Serena Williams. You can't count her out. So she's definitely among one of the favorites.
Who do you have?
You know what? I'm not a huge Serena fan. I mean, she's an American, so I would love to see her win because, you know, God bless America. There is a young favorite from Australia. Her name is Ashleigh Barty. She's 23. She came in ranked 21. So she's got real potential to take it all the way.
And she's how old?
She is 23 compared to Serena's 37.
Wow.
Now, that being said, Serena is older, but she's still in incredible shape. Serena has the experience, and Ashleigh does not.
Yeah, Ashleigh actually is favorite over Serena at 4-1 betting odds, and then you have Serena at 5-1. So that says a lot. That's pretty crazy. Do you have any embarrassing stories about your brother that you could share with us real quick?
Yes, please. So one of my favorite stories about Derek is every year when we go to visit our cousins, they lived in San Diego, we'd cross the border and we'd go into TJ.
Mm-hmm.
And what we would do is we'd get tacos and then we'd walk down the street and we'd look at silver jewelry because Mexico is one of the number one exporters of silver and silver is cheap. And every year, without fail, Derek would put a ring on that he could not get off. I think maybe one year he'd learn. I want to say it happened every year. He couldn't get it off.
It wasn't every year.
I mean, every year.
Maybe 3 years in a row. Yeah. I had a three-peat. Yeah.
So there would be tears, and there would be...
Do you even wear rings?
No.
I was like 4 years... I was like 8 years old then. All right, yeah. See some crazy ring, man.
He had a wiser, but maybe not much. But, poor kiddo was there crying because he couldn't get this ring off, and my mom would be trying to console him, and we'll get some lotion. It's okay. We'll bust out the dental floss.
Tough times, man. Tough times.
Tough to be little Derekito.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did have 3 older sisters and 3 older girl cousins to contend with, but...
It was a hard knock life, man. That's why I'm Daddy Warbucks now.
Hard in these streets.
Aaron, thank you as always. We will talk to you next week. Sound good?
Sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
So the three-peater over here.
Yeah. Something like that.
No, right?
Sounds about right.
Well, could be worse, I suppose.
Yeah.
Let's get into some Women's World Cup. I don't think we have given women enough time on this show, and our USA squad is showing very well so far. They defeat France last Friday. France was the other heavy favorite in this Women's World Cup, and they beat them 2-1 in what ended up being actually very entertaining game, especially towards the end there. And I wanted to get a little deeper because USA has dominated Women's World Cup for a long time. And I was listening to the Men in Blazers podcast, which is a great pod. You should check it out if you're into soccer. And they really dove in deep about how Title IX has helped accelerate, in particular, women's soccer. Whereas in Europe, for example, where men's soccer is dominant, right? It's the dominant sport, over in Europe. Yeah.
But
women playing soccer was more or less frowned upon for years and years and years. And now they are finally starting to get behind women's soccer. Club teams like Arsenal and some others are starting to actually funnel some money into growing the sport. And so teams like Germany have a really good shot this year. Who are the other
teams? They don't have a shot anymore. They lost.
They lost to Sweden.
All right.
Sweden.
Well, I'll take that. Yeah. But teams like France had a good shot before they lost.
Yeah. And Germany, too. They did have a good chance.
Right. So is it basically...
It's the USA's to win.
It's the USA's demise now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good for them.
Yeah. I mean, as like I said, as they've been doing before, they have completely and utterly dominated this game since that 1999. Season where we all remember the Rose Bowl incident with Brandi Chastain.
Ripping off the shirt.
It was a truly glorious moment for just like the country in that moment because it was soccer, and we, you know, that's not a sport that we at all pay attention to whatsoever, but it finally put that sport on the map for us. And then it has now come to where it is full circle. Not even, they're still dominating. They're still the powerhouse in the world. They have the top player, Megan Rapinoe, being what she's doing and doing.
Shout
amazing.
Out Northern California.
Yeah, Redding, hello.
Right there. She's killing the game right now.
Trump is not a big fan of hers, huh?
She's not a big fan of Trump either, so, you know, I guess they agree.
Works out mutually.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Mutual hate is the best type of hate.
I know all about that. I love mutual hate.
Speaking of mutual hate.
Man, hey, why you wanna play hate on me?
Yes, indeed. Each and every week, I like to take a stroll down Haterade Lane. And I was going to go political. We kind of did that last week. Then I was going to start hating on the NBA. It's like, that's not really going to work for me just because I'm going to look like a real, real hater just because KD left the Warriors. And he once left the team that was pretty upset about it, too. So I can't really hate on that. However, what I will hate on, and I have hated on them before, and I'll do it again, Apple. Now, granted, this has nothing to do. Shouts to my sister, Taisha. She just developed an app for Apple that launched last week, and I'm very proud of her for doing that. But, Ty, while you're at it, can you ask them to put a god dang headphone jack on their phones? I have now bought 6 headphone adapters. Now, yes, one could say, hey, Jero, that's on you. Why don't you stop losing them? And it's like, hey, maybe because I just lose stuff. Maybe if I just had a freaking headphone jack, I wouldn't have to buy them. I have spent over $120 on headphone adapters, and I just think it's ridiculous. Apple, what's up? Androids with it. First of all, okay, let's get into this. You know, this is, everything in the world that you charge these days, every single mobile device that is not Apple can be charged with a mini USB. Name one product that can't. Name one.
My Apple iPhone.
Exactly. What? It is so incredibly frustrating. And I get it. You have a $10 billion a year industry for accessories for your phones. Cool. Got it. Why don't you just make it easier on consumers? And while you're at it, why don't you make a phone that lasts more than a year and a half? You have the technology. Why don't you just make it last longer? Let's just throw all our phones, our old phones, in the ocean with all the other plastic and just kill more dolphins and sea turtles. Thanks a lot, Apple.
Whoa.
It's all their fault.
Chill out with the dolphins, brother.
Hey,
they're dying too, man. You can't stop the dying.
I want the dolphins to live. But we keep throwing our old technology in the ocean because we don't know what to do with it, because we are on an 18-month cycle because it makes more money for these major corporations, where Apple actually is worth more than the U.S. government. Do we need that much money? Do you need $120 for me just so I can listen to music through my headphones? I don't think so. Help me out, Apple.
Give back to the community, Apple.
Do something for us. Do something for the consumer.
Have a summer camp.
Something. Anything.
And you pay, I have to pay $500 to go, too.
$500 is for the first day. That's for orientation.
$1,000 gets you the whole weekend.
If you want the uniform and food, you're going to have to pay an additional $500.
It's like a Steph Curry camp.
And if you try to get food from outside, you can't
it's
bring
like
it
a Steph Curry camp. It is a genius line. Thank you.
I love how everyone sitting in this studio, by the way, has iPhones.
Well, yeah, because once you go Apple, it's hard to go back because everything has to be formatted to Apple. Whereas Android, open platform. I could go take one Android phone to another and bring over all my information. I could even buy an SD card and get more storage if I want for most Android phones. You know what I can't do for Apple? You know what I can't do? Buy more storage. You know what else I can't do? Plug a pair of headphones into it. You know what else I can't do? Plug an HDMI into my damn laptop that I paid $1,500 for. Though I will give them credit, I have had the same computer for 10 years. But granted, I did have to get a new hard drive. Apple, do better. Help us out. When was the last time you even did anything innovative? Honestly, think about it. All of you who have an iPhone, what is so great about your iPhone that an iPhone 3 generations prior didn't have? Tell me. Please tell me.
Waterproof.
Oh, is yours waterproof?
Yeah.
Kind of.
It's water resistant.
I found it out today. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. He dropped his in the river today.
Yeah.
Oh.
Still good.
Oh.
Still good. The sneaker's a little busted, but you know.
So it's not waterproof.
It's water resistant.
Water resistant. Yeah.
Mm, my JBL speaker that I bought for $100, I could dump underwater and it still bangs jams.
You know what Apple does do though? They let you know on any random number you call if they have an iPhone or not.
Fair enough.
They got an iPhone when you're talking to them.
Yeah.
That is gold.
You can't do the green bubble.
No, green bubbles are disgusting.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are some impeding factors stopping you from breaking the cycle. But I agree with your hateration.
Thank you.
Scroll down hateration ad.
I appreciate you agreeing with my hateration. Let's take a look into the futures here in a second once I can find your drop, if it's still on here. Oh, yeah, it is. Excellent. Well, let's take a look into the futures and talk about some gambling, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, it's me. Knock, knock. So, you got my money?
So we're going to take a little stroll back to the Women's World Cup.
All right.
Got that going on. And seeing how I don't like to bet on baseball, we're going to go Women's World Cup. So prediction time, boys. We're going to do the semis, and then we'll get your guys' prediction on your finals.
Well, we got in one semi. We have England versus the United States of America.
I'm sorry. Is this
you
Derek?
Weren't filling it in. I feel
is
like
this
you didn't
Derek
know.
Into the future?
I feel like you didn't even know. You were like looking at me like, Derek, fill me out with this, what games are
all
right,
so the first game.
Thank you.
We have tomorrow. We have
what time?
At noon.
Oh, you don't know. No, I think it's like noon. I don't know.
USA England. Obviously, USA is a heavy favorite. The money line has England at +350, which is kind of enticing.
What's the over-under on it?
Three goals. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's heavy.
So yeah, let's go with Jordan first, and we'll work our way around the board here. Jordan.
I'm taking England.
Ooh. Ooh.
Even though, I mean, obviously I have the U.S. winning, but I'm taking England. I'm taking England.
For the you'd rather have the points than the...
Yeah.
Okay.
What is the... You said the over-under was...
Three goals, right?
I'm gonna go USA. It's gonna be 3-1. 3-1 USA.
Okay, so you're saying take over.
Yeah.
Okay. Jarrell?
3-1 sounds good.
Alright.
I mean, England has been scoring a lot of goals lately, and the USA has been in their ability to score a lot of goals. Hopefully Alex Morgan actually does something other than just score against really weak teams. So she hasn't done anything.
Game two. We have Sweden against the Netherlands. This is supposed to be a little bit more close of a matchup.
Yeah.
Vegas books have Sweden at +245 with the Netherlands at +125. So seeing the line as the way it is, obviously you're going to see a 2-1, you know, 3-2 game.
Most likely will be. I mean, I will say I think the Netherlands are the team to go with. I think they're really rolling right now. Sweden definitely had a great game against Germany to knock them out. But the Netherlands, they've been the orange. I'm going with them. I'm going to say they're going to take it 2-1 against Sweden.
All right. Jordan?
So I got Sweden 2-0.
Jarrell?
I'm going Sweden as well. I'll go 2-1.
Sweden as well. You know, it's my heritage. I'm going Sweden.
Sweden.
You know?
Sweden!
Those Viking warriors are going to get it done. all right, and I think we all have kind of the same. We're all just bleeding red, white, and blue for the final. Or do you think that there is a Sweden or a Netherlands team that can beat?
I think that the U.S. is definitely, they have holes that can, if other teams are able to pounce on, they can definitely put them out. Especially in the defense,
the counter attacks.
I will say Ashley Dunn, I think it was their right back
or one of their the fullbacks. She did a phenomenal job on France's winger. So if she can continue to do that play like that, you're going to help that defense out a lot because they need a lot of help back there. So it'll be interesting to see if England's able to do it because England does have a really strong attack. So if they can get behind, it could get scary for the United States.
And the goal play for the United States has not been...
It's not been... It ain't no hope solo.
Yeah, man. has not been good at all. So hopefully she can step up to the plate, whatever her name is.
Fair enough.
All right. I should take the overs.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Take the overs.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. All right.
Goals glow, hopefully.
USA, these colors don't run.
Don't tread on me.
All right.
Yeah.
And nice.
The Gadsden.
And that's all we got.
And that is Luke into the future.
Thank you.
Is that what it sounds like?
We played some baseball over in London, and this is what it sounded like.
Oh, it's one count. That's a well-hit ball by LeMahieu. Mookie Betts is going back, and he can't get there. And it's going to be a ground rule double. The ball bounced. It's got into the crowd. That means that it's a double for LeMahieu. But it does mean that two more runs can score. And it's 9-4 Yankees. And that gives them seven runs in the seventh inning, and there's still only one man out, and they're
I just love you say anything in a British accent, it just sounds more sophisticated.
That was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're playing baseball in London though.
Well, they're trying to expand the game the same way football's done, the same way the NBA does every preseason, the same way that soccer does for bringing their game over here, but they only play preseason games here. And that's, I guess, if you want to pick a gripe with something, that would be the gripe, right? Why are we playing regular season games that takes a home game, a home series away from one of these teams and send them all the way to London? That doesn't seem to make sense. It makes more sense to me to do it during preseason. But, hell, we played games in Japan and had opening day in Japan a week prior to opening day happening in the U.S. and then came back and played preseason games in the past. So... baseball's funny.
I mean, Japan, I get. They love baseball over in Japan.
Yeah.
They love it.
Well, they're trying to grow the sport.
I know they're trying to, but like...
a fair amount of players
I feel
Japan
that,
as well.
In particular, in England in particular, they look down on baseball as like a childish game.
Don't they play cricket?
Yeah. They think cricket's the actual game to play. Well, cricket is actually rather entertaining to watch.
It's one of the most popular sports.
Cricket and handball.
Like,
cricket and men's
handball. It is like legitimately, it's fun to watch. I will say it's more entertaining than baseball. A lot more action going on.
I enjoy the different commentators. Like how the NBA sometimes switches the college commentators with the NBA commentators.
Oh, yeah.
And you like have games in Mexico City with Mexican commentators.
Yeah.
The last thing that they haven't done, which they need to do, is take like Augusta? Take like a golf thing and just get a guy from Detroit, a black dude from Detroit, a black dude from Chicago, and just have them talk about it. But they actually know what they're talking about as well. I think that's the next step.
Can we start a petition for this?
PGA, holla at me. I want in.
Spice up that commentary right now.
Yeah, I want in.
Yeah.
I would love that. That would be so...
Said on four and then he shanked that.
I would absolutely love that. That'd be a good look. Before we get out of here, Derek, do you have anything that's annoying you lately?
No, hell yeah.
Yeah?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's...
What's going to annoy him is buying this beer after the show.
Oh, for those of you who don't know, we go to Beach Hut Deli after every show.
Shout out to the Hut.
That Beach Hut, yep, shouts to the Hut. We shoot free throws for who has to buy a round of beers for the rest of the guys. And Derek, I believe you lost last week.
I did, yeah.
Redemption song.
I
lost last time for sure.
Yeah, you lost.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
but I have like 10 total games on my record.
That's,
you know what I mean?
You guys all have
50 plus outings, 50 plus appearances.
That's a good point. Yeah. All right. What is bothering you today?
You know what really grinds my gears?
People that stick their gum underneath their chair and or the counter.
Oh,
you are disgusting.
Rude. That's just rude.
Yeah, you're not an adult if you're doing that.
You're a pig. Swallow it like a human being.
Ooh, swallow it. Ooh, you want some freak stuff, Dad.
That, or grab one of the napkins that's right across the bar from you.
Okay, I like
and
that.
Wrap it up and throw it away.
All right.
Simple enough.
Spit it in the bottom of your beer. Don't drink the foam.
Yeah.
There you go.
You can hit me again.
Okay. You know what really grinds my gears?
People that use self-checkout machines at grocery stores.
What?
Wait, no. You've got to explain this.
I'm just simply saying we are needing people to have jobs out there. You're taking away a job and giving it to a robot. That's so easy to do, and half the time you don't even know what you're doing.
I like it.
You look ridiculous when you're trying to like, ah, where's the little scanner on here right now? And you're like, oh, beep. Oh yeah, I got it. Oh, put it down in a little paper basket.
And those things are the worst for like produce. Like,
I don't know how to do that. Yeah, no. Like